Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you move aside the frailty that's going on with me today. Lord, just wake me up. Father, I pray that I not be a distraction from your word. But Lord, let it speak to us. Father, our country, she is in danger. Lord, if she's not too far gone already. But Lord, we know that in your hands all things can heal. All things can be blessed. So Father, we pray for our country. And I pray that you help us to see ways that we can represent you and stand and just represent what it is that you would have us to do here on this earth. Help us, Lord. Teach us how to pray for our government. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I was sitting in my chair in my office, just kind of going over some things, just trying to get some last-minute notes put together and some things from, you're wrapping up some things from camp, and just sitting there when I got the notification, much like many of you have. President Biden stepping down, and I was surprised. I go, hey, what a wonderful illustration for the sermon I was going to preach tonight. And what's amazing is I watched some of the news coverage, and what amazed me was how often they sat there and said, this is unprecedented, we did not see this coming. I'm like, you guys must be blind as a weatherman. We didn't see it coming. I think everybody saw it coming. I think even tiny children watching, oh, has he stepped down yet? Nobody was surprised. And, of course, what happens now? Upheaval. What are we going to do? How is it going to happen? Oh, my, what do we do here? What do we do there? Who's going to step into this position? And I don't have any answers for you. I wish I did. You know, I can conjecture. You know, Brother Mark and I kind of go back and forth on what we think is going to happen. You know, we think that he mentioned something about how when he gives a speech later on this week, it's going to be something like, well, I quit. Right now? Yes, I quit right now. Me, personally, I think we're going to see like a Michelle Obama, Governor Whitmer thing. You know, wouldn't that be? I think even worse if it was Kamala Harris, because you know the only thing that woman will run on is abortion rights. That's the only thing. That's the only dog she's got in her circus. That's it. It's just, well, you know, we'll give you the ability to kill children in the womb. Then you got Governor Whitmer over there who's okay with killing old people in the nursing home. Put them together, we'll put an end to this country real quick. But as Brother Charlie mentioned this morning, we have no need to fear any of these things. But you know, we do have a responsibility, as I mentioned earlier. And part of that responsibility is for us to bathe our leaders in prayer. Look at this verse again. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. When I see Christians getting rowdy about things, there's many times where I go, yes, we should be rowdy about this. And other times I see people getting rowdy in a useless way, to where the things that they are doing and the things that they are saying are just shouting into the void, and it does absolutely nothing for our country and does absolutely nothing for our churches. I've heard the jokes, I've heard the curt whispers, and you know what? We ought to stand up against wrong, and it's okay to mock things, in my opinion, mock things that are wrong a little bit. But in the end, we must remember what our job is. Our job is not to set up the government in the way that we would be pleased with. Now, if we get the opportunity, that's the way we ought to vote. That's what we ought to do. But it is not our high responsibility. While we are in this land, we are pilgrims, we are strangers. And yes, it is our responsibility to vote with God's morality. It always used to bother me. Well, I don't think Christians ought to be able to bring their values into the polls. Well, fine. Nobody bring their values into the polls. We'll just vote for the prettiest person. Right? We won't bring any of our values, any of our moray. We won't bring any of that into the polls. We'll just vote for who's prettiest. And the atheists can't vote on their morals. We can't vote on our morals. Nobody votes on their morals. Let's just go on who put on the best show during the debates. You know what? We need to be Christians in the voting booth. We need to be Christians when we talk about political things. But we are never more Christians than when we are praying for those in charge. Let's take a look at this list, and I believe we've gone over it before, but we're going to go over it more specifically to this point. First of all, it says supplications. Supplications involve our needs, things that we need. I look at our current president, and I kind of can start to go over a prayer request list for that man. Number one, his health is failing him, both in his mental capacity as well as his physical capacity. We see it. I was watching a video today where as he was coming down the stairs, you know when people are going through it when they're coming down the stairs like that. Listen, I think a lot of his policies are evil. I think he's not a very moral man. I got problems with a lot of stuff he does. But we need to pray for his health. We need to pray for all the other needs that he has as well. His mind is not as sharp. Now listen, if I make a mistake... Oh man, I made one at camp. I tried to look. You ever have your brain reach for a word and it grabs the wrong one? The word I was going for was distinguished, referring to those in the camp that I needed to come and judge a lot of the competition stuff, the essays, the poems. Kids just do a lot of work in here, you know, and adults do a lot of work in there. So I was asking for some distinguished, experienced people. You want to know what word came out of my mouth? Extinguished. And people rode that horse all week. One of the poems came in with the phrase extinguished written on it. I make a small mistake, we laugh. Our small group, we get over it. We move on. When you're in that hot seat, the world laughs at you. And again, it should be concerning. Again, it is a little funny. But could you imagine being him coming up to the podium and in his mind getting confused and wandering away? And then you have to go be the most powerful man on earth in the office the next day. The political coverage that's about him. And of course, whenever you put yourself on politics, you're asking for it. Every stage you stand on is a stage of ridicule, right? Everybody can come and get you. But that's a pain that he has. And it's not just him. He has needs among his family. Some of us know what it's like to have very close family members drawn up in addiction and crime. He has it too, but he has it on the world stage. I think Hunter Biden deserves to go to jail. I pray the Lord saves him. I pray the Lord delivers him from his addiction. We need to see the needs of the people we have. We look at the other guy, I pray for some humility. You know, I pray for some health. I pray that the Lord continue to protect him so like what happens last week doesn't happen again. Again, gun violence is a terrible thing. We should never be glad or we should never be happy about it. But yet how many people out there took to the streets making jokes, laughing about it? Listen, we need to put that stuff aside. That's a sign of a bad heart when violence in reality can make us giggle. That's rough. We ought to pray for the senators. We ought to pray for the representatives. We ought to pray for the officers. We ought to pray for those working as staffers. We need to pray for them all. And their greatest need of all is salvation. I tell you what, we're all conservatives here, I believe. You may be conservative. You may be liberal. But there's a lot of lost people up there. A lot of them. There's a lot of people who've done some evil things and devised some plots. And as the Freedom of Information Act makes new information available, we begin to see some of the things that we've done. And as a country, it makes us blush. We become ashamed of it. We need to pray that the Lord saves these people so that nonsense stops. Well, every government does it. Well, let's pray for every government. The evil in this world needs to stop. There are better ways, more godly ways for us to behave in politics, and we need to find them, and we need to do them. We need to show grace and love and mercy just as much in our government as we would in our regular lives. So when we pray for the supplications, we pray for those needs that they have. And there are needs. Man, I tell you what, one of the bigger needs that they need right alongside of salvation is knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom. There's some stuff that you'll hear them say just makes me go nuts. It says, how on earth did you make it that far with so little going on? You know, not to be mean, but it's the case. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we're trillions of dollars in debt. Okay, well, how do we fix it? We're going to give billions of dollars to other countries. Okay, well, are we, when we say that we're in debt to who? China. Oh, well, how are we going to fix that? By giving billions of dollars to other countries. Not the country we owe money to? No, no. Now, granted, a lot of it's in bonds and things like that that we don't have, but if you borrow money, you need to start getting ready to pay it back. Am I right? And what else are we doing? We're lowering the borders and letting people inside and paying for them to live here when we've got soldiers and we've got veterans and we've got people of our own living in the streets without anything in the infrastructure in order for us to take care of it. We've got drug problems in this country, massive drug problems. And instead of finding some way to channel funding into getting them proper help, we are buying them clean needles and tourniquets. What level of misogyny, what level of debauchery have we sunk to? How foolish have we become that instead of getting counseling and housing and help to those with addictions, we are giving them the instruments to die? They need knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom. I think it's a weird world where somebody can sit there and say, Democrat or Republican, I don't care, that a child inside of a womb isn't a person. But that same person will go out when they're pregnant and they will buy clothing and they will put the name of the child in block letters on the wall. So theirs is a child. The one downtown Flint, those aren't children. Those are problems. You can kill them. You have rights. That bothers me. That bothers me that we will spend all this money to protect freckled frogs and geckos and moths, but yet the child that can kick and hear and scientifically we know can move, that should die so mom can go back out to the clubs and get pregnant again. It's a joke. We need to pray for wisdom and knowledge. See that kick? That's not mom kicking in there. That's a baby. See, this is a boy, right? This is a girl. They come together and they reproduce. What do they create? More of the same. If I got a boy deer and a girl deer and you put them together, they reproduce. And what do they make? They make either a boy fawn or a girl fawn. Yes, but in our feelings, can I ask you a question? What color hair do you feel you have? Anybody? When was the last time you felt the weight of your ears on your head and you've decided what kind of ears you have? My papa, I love him. He had big ears. And if you see pictures of me when I was a kid, I had big ears. In Little League, we used to have these hats, and the hats that year were too big for our little heads. So all it did for me was pop my ears out. There's a picture, I'm not going to tell you where it is, of me in T-ball with my ears like this. Man, echolocation, no problem for me. What kind of ears do you feel you have? Do you feel Irish? Do you feel German? Do you feel Italian? Do you feel Hungarian? Do you feel any of those things? What does that feel like? You don't feel that way at all, do you? Because there ain't no feeling genetics, folks. What's on your body is what's on your body. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about what's on your body. Now, you want to talk about what's going on in your brain? That's a different animal altogether. But not a one of them has ever been able to explain to me why we should put children through costly, unstudied procedures and give them medications we don't know what they will do because a five-year-old says, I feel like a girl. There's no reason for that. We need to pray. Did you know in some countries they're already banning giving puberty blockers to children? Over in the UK, some of them have already started to vote against it because they've noticed that it's caused cancer. But because of our politics, it'll probably take us another 20 before we consider it. We need to pray for knowledge and wisdom. And how about this? How long have we sat and watched debate after debate, and we still, at the end of it, have no idea what either one of them really believe? That one between Hillary and Trump broke me. Remember that one? It felt more like the WWF, like the wrestlers doing some pageantry before they got into a fight than he really was. And this year, when Biden and Trump got into a bickering fest over their golf scores, I felt it again. Now listen, he's picking on Trump. I'm picking on all politicians. If you think there's a straight one, you need to measure again. Now, you already know who I'm going to vote for. That's not a question. Right? There are a lesser of two evils, and there's one who seemed to be doing really good. You know what? I'm not picking. But we need to look at these people as people. We need to look at them as sinners with big, important jobs. We even think down to the role of a doctor. I was talking to my brother-in-law about this. He goes, if I make a mistake, because he's a IT person, he goes, if I make a mistake, I can go back to it. A surgeon makes a mistake, you die. And I've said that a few times from the pulpit. We just kind of laughed. I go, I say that all the time, man. And that's the fact of the matter. You know, some people have jobs so important that their mistakes exact huge costs. It's the purpose of all the training. So what do? We lift those people up in prayer. Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, give them strength. Lord, give them ability and a good day. Lord, let them have just the best time doing that surgery as humanly possible. That's what we pray. But we need to pray for their needs. It says there that not only should there be supplications, but there should also be prayer. When we talk about prayer in that context, we're talking about a conversation with God. We need to bring that up. Not just asking for what they need, but consistently bringing up in our conversation with God the current state of things around us. Does he know? Yes, he does. But we need to cast that care on him. Because I'm watching stuff and I'm getting real nervous about our country. There was a preacher who told me many years ago, well, we don't see America in the book of Revelation, so what does that tell you? That says a lot of stuff to me. I don't know what we'll be when the Lord comes back. Is it that the Lord didn't want to set and sail for the new land yet, so he didn't tell us about it? Is it that we're there and we just can't decipher that it's there? Or do we blow it? I don't know. But I do know this, that we will be doing exactly what God intends for us to do, and we need to be obeying the Lord no matter what government sits above us. A Democratic one, a Republican one, Republican one, or a foreign one. We serve the Lord. We honor Him and we obey Him. So we must have these conversations, and these conversations we have with the Lord about what we're seeing with our politicians and with our rulers. What we need to do is we need to have compassionate conversations. But I also love to see how in David, when he spoke of his enemies, he had no problem asking the Lord to strike them down. We see where the Lord, where David celebrated to the Lord when the Lord interfered with his enemies' plans and gave him freedom and preserved him. We need to pray that their ability to do evil is restricted, either by salvation and wisdom and knowledge, or by the refining fire of God's hand. But all the same, there must be prayer, and we must be consistent with it, believing that it is the Lord who appoints the rulers of this world. And we also see in the Old Testament how God had no problem giving evil rulers to the nation of Israel just to teach them a lesson. And I wondered how many times He's done that same thing with us. Given us evil rulers because we asked for them. Given us people that were no good for us, that did terrible things. All because we needed to be taught a lesson. People will tell us, well, the country of America is not perfect. Oh, no, we're not. You don't have to. Well, back here in 18, you don't have to tell me that. I know. I know we've done some diabolical stuff. I know we've done some awful stuff. You know why we did awful stuff? Because we had lost evil people leading the way. We need to pray. We rest these things in God's hands. And we ask the Lord to intervene. But as we said this morning, we must obey. Folks, our prayers for those in leadership around us must be compassionate. They must be loving. They must be honest. See, there's a condition that will come later that we'll look at. In order for us to have the things that are mentioned at the end of this reading, we must have first these prayer times, these conversations with God. What else do they say? What else is said in this verse? Intercessions. Intercessions. That word intercessions means a coming together with, to be on the same page. It's where I go to God with your problems and I say, here's what my buddy's got going on. We need to pray for some intercessory prayers. Lord, please give them wisdom. I will guarantee most of the people who are the movers and shakers of this country do not ask God for wisdom and knowledge. They probably don't even consider God. And the way that you and I would check with God or read our Bibles, they pay more attention to their stocks, their bonds, and their bank accounts, often needing to know a little bit of the Swiss language to see it. They're not going to pray for themselves. They're not going to ask God to give them these things. So we should. We see politician after politician do what? They proclaim some kind of Christian religion. But none of them you see actually practicing said religion. Now I get a president's job is very important. Takes them out of church on Sunday. But it's funny how some of them, like remember Obama? Remember Obama when he made his mistake? He picked a pastor and said, this is the church that we go to. This is my pastor. And he didn't vet the guy enough, didn't listen to enough of his sermons. And somebody went back into this guy's sermons and found out that he's not only racist, but he absolutely hates the country and had some kooky beliefs on things. And all of a sudden they had to reel back on it. Folks, I'm not trying to be negative, but I think most presidents with their religion are the exact same. Even when we go back into history, these Christian founding fathers, most of them were deists. They believed in a God. They didn't know how deep. Now, some of them were true blue. You look into their journals. You look into their writings. You look into their letters. Man, these people knew God. But I think the vast majority of them were just putting on the show, putting on the suit and tie. I didn't put my tie back on, but putting on the suit and tie to look good on a Sunday morning. And there's many that try to, oh, well, George Washington was a Lutheran. George Washington was a Presbyterian. I read a book one time, George Washington was a Baptist. Listen, folks, I don't know. But all I know is this, is politicians have a very poor track record of honoring God with their behavior. And they're not going to ask for God's help. So we need to ask God to give it to them. Just the same as we would for anybody else. There was I didn't save it, but there was this thing where they were referring to a football team, and they went down how many on the football team were arrested for addictions, how many of them were arrested for physical abuse within the home, or domestic abuse, they call it. And they went all the way down that. And then you go, oh, wow, that's a pretty, what was that? Is that the Bengals? You know, who was that? And it was turned out to be the Senate. And I should have printed it off and I should have looked, but it turned out to be the Senate. And this was probably more than a decade ago that thing started to float around. But I tell you what, that's them. Many of them aren't going to pray that they stop being abusers. Many of them are not going to pray that they get free of their addictions. Many of them are not going to pray that the Lord would convict them of their theft and their insider trading and all the nonsense that they do, making money off the poor in our country. They're not going to repent of it. It is our job to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, please convict them. Please, Lord, change them. So what do we have here? We have the call for supplications, for prayers, for intercessions. But you know what we also need to do? We need to give thanks. Joe Biden, in his announcement today, made the statement that we've got the strongest economy in the world. And you know what? We might have the strongest economy in the world. But is that really saying something? You could lose several steps in a race and still be in first place. It used to be all the world would come to us and look to us for stability and things like that. We are losing a lot of things that put stock in the American dollar. There was a lot of oil barons and places in the Middle East that would back it up with oil and back up our dollar with certain things. And you know what's happening? They're slowly starting to move away to other currencies. That's going to be rough for us. We may have the strongest economy in the world, but direction means everything. I used to like, when we were kids, my brother and I used to play this race car game. And every now and then I'd get bored. And I would turn around and I would drive the other way in the game. And he'd be doing well. He said, oh, I'm going to beat my record. I'm going to beat my record. And just as he's about to cross that finish line, here comes my car the wrong way just to plow into him. I was a mean big brother. I was. And every now and then he'd do the same. You know, we used to play Mario Kart where you get to throw things at other cars. And I can't remember which one of my kids will do it. But they'll play and they'll get tough about it. I turned around one time, did the same thing, except I started going the other way, started throwing things at the people coming at me. We cause the disruptions in things. We may be the strongest, but folks, if we're headed the wrong direction, we're not going to keep that lead for long. And why would we want the lead? We don't want the lead. We want to just be able to say that we're the best. I think the point that we ought to be focused on is, are we strong? Right? Our economy should not be a race. Our economy instead should be our ability to feed our people, to balance our own budgets, and to take care of the things that we need to take care of. And right now, we're not doing so well. We've got farms and we're giving stuff away. We've got stocks of money and we're just giving it away and we're devaluing the thing. We need to pray for them. We need to pray and we need to be earnest about that prayer. And we need to, you know what? Going back to my point, we need to be thankful for what we have. Because I'll look over what some other countries have and I'll sit there and I'll say, wow, what a struggle. What difficulty they have. You know, when you've got children dying in the streets in your country, that is a rough place to be in. When you can't develop proper medical care, within your own country. That's terrible. You know, we may have our issues with our health care, but you know what? We've got access to it. I wish they'd stop charging you an arm and a leg just for a Tylenol. You know, hundreds of you spend the weekend in a hospital because you fell off of something and you got hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. That ain't right either. But I'll tell you this, at least we've got doctors and things that we have access to that know what they're doing. Some, they don't have anybody to build the hospitals. They don't have anybody to build the businesses. Look on over at Flint. It's going to take a lot to get that city back up and running. It's going to take people with money to come in and open businesses and pour into the infrastructure. And that's a big ask. It's a big thing to ask. And I don't know if we're ever going to see that happen. And until then, what's going to happen? You're going to see the growth of blight. You see those things come in and just things falling apart and just things looking terrible. You know, I've said this a couple of times. You know, you drive through Detroit, Detroit looks rough. Flint looks like a bomb went off. It looks like a post-apocalyptic place in some areas. There's just nobody. And what's there is falling apart. But I love when you drive through and you see the opportunities that we have, when we see the infrastructure there, when you see how well things are going, when you can drive by fields of beautiful plants and farms of animals and go into the grocery store and we're packed to the gills and you're not waiting for fish on Tuesday and shoes on Friday. When you're not tearing the leather off of your shoes and the bark off of the trees just to have something to eat. I love the blessings we have and we ought to thank God for it. Regardless of what we hear on the news, we are still a military powerhouse. We've got things we don't, the common American person doesn't even know about. And you know what? We've got stuff that works. You know, even to have that, how many countries in the last couple of years have tried to set stuff off and it didn't work because they gave it to the lowest builder in a corrupt government? I'm not saying ours is spotless. I'm just saying we ought to be thankful. How can I be thankful for a Clinton or a Biden or an Obama? How can I be thankful for these presidents that have done terrible things? How can I be thankful for a Nancy Pelosi or a Buttigieg? How can I be thankful for these people who have openly condemned our country just because we're a Christian nation who does not break our backs to give everything we've made to somebody else? Because we realize that despite the evil around us, God has still preserved us. That's what gets me about the children of Israel when they had evil kings, and yet they were still strong. How many times were they led off to captivity? But there were times they had evil kings and nothing completely audacious happened. Because God provided. God sustained. And we need to be thankful. And of course, we're taking a focus on where it says the kings and the authority. But according to verse 1, that these things ought to be made for all men. For everybody. Now we say men there, we're not talking about the boys' club. We're talking about all of mankind. We ought to be praying this way for everybody. That mean neighbor you got down the street, that person that cuts you off at the grocery store, that person at the Thanksgiving dinner table that just says the wrong things all the time, be thankful for them. Pray for them. Ask the Lord to give them what they need. Consider them as somebody with needs and wants and pains, and what they need more than anything else is the Lord. And when we can do that, when our hearts are in that attitude and we've given that obedience to God, verse 2 takes place. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We say quiet. Why do we say quiet? What's the difference between quiet and peace? In this connotation, quiet means exactly what it sounds like. And peace means without frustration or without friction. It reminds me of that verse, and forgive me, I didn't write down the address to it, but it says, And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. As I watch the news, which doesn't happen often, and it was a good reminder as to why I don't, what I heard was a lot of talking that said nothing. What was the news? Well, President Biden just released a written statement. I'm not entirely sure it was him that released it, but that was what the news was. Saying that he is dropping out of the race. That's it. Do you get all the information? He's dropping out of the race. He's endorsing Kamala Harris. That's it. This thing went on and on. I probably listened for 20 minutes for them to say the same thing. You want to know why they kept saying the same thing and trying to find other ways to say the same thing? Because they didn't have anything else to report. But somebody says, we need to get out there and start talking. That is our problem in this world. We just get to talking. And then what do people do? Oh, did you see that on the news? All right. Here's my opportunity to save the country with a well-written Facebook post. I didn't check, but I will guarantee that as sure as Moses wears sandals, there's going to be some activity on Facebook tonight. Guaranteed. I saw this. Somebody said, well, President Trump was shot at 6:11 in the afternoon. Ephesians 6:11 is about the whole army of God, a whole armor of God. Praise the Lord. Are you out of your mind? How many books of the Bible did you go to 6:11 to find one that fit? I hope you had to stop at every one along the way before you got to the book of Ephesians to come up with that garbage. What is it? It's talk. Because how will you know I'm the smartest religious political pundit you ever met if I don't put it on Facebook? If I don't get out there on my YouTube channel and say, hello everyone, thank you, please like, subscribe, follow along. If I don't go out there and I don't start saying some nonsense, you won't know how smart I am. But what they don't realize is the best way to not look stupid is to keep your mouth shut. Simplicity. Well, he passed out a letter saying that he's not going to join the next election cycle, and he'd say that Kamala Harris was a pretty good person to step in. That's all that needed to be said. That verse there, study to be quiet. Why? Well, it's like that adage. I don't know if one of you told me this joke or if I picked it up somewhere. Boy and his dad were sitting on the side of a trail. And they heard a wagon coming up. And the dad looks over at his son and goes, what can you tell me about that wagon? And the kid goes, well, I don't know. It's coming and it's got some horses and probably a driver. And the dad goes, you hear how loud it is? The boy goes, yeah. They're always loudest when they're empty. The boy goes, oh. And that's the way a lot of people are. The emptier they are, the louder they are. And that's what we're seeing. Noise. Fill your head with some substance. Fill your head with some things that have weight to it. Because otherwise, all you're going to do is blah, 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 blah. And it won't make any sense. Not that we say nothing at all ever. We need to speak. Silence doesn't do us any good either. But if there's nothing there to spread out, don't spread anything out. Right? What good is a store with nothing in the, with nothing on the shelves? Instead, let us study. Let us learn, what does God have to say? Was God saying, because he had the shooter shoot at 6:11 in the afternoon or in the evening, that what we need to do is put on the full armor of God, and that God put a figurative armor around the president on everywhere except for his ear? And that's, come on. Come on, it's noise. That talk around the coffee table, that shouting in the dining room at McDonald's at 7:00 in the morning when all the retired folks are there. That beating each other on Facebook and screaming at each other in the streets. All that is what? It's noise. It's not doing anything. We're not encouraging. We're not building. We're not even giving proper discernment when people are just making stuff up. I texted my dad. I like to give him a hard time. Texted my dad. I said, "All right, Dad, get ready. Obama Whitmer 2024. He goes, "Are you serious?" And I texted him back, "No, I made that up." You know what? There's how many people are out there making stuff up? Because they don't know, but they got to say something. Our words would better be served in prayer. Our words ought to be saved for God. Until we know, until knowledge meets wisdom and becomes discernment, we need to just pray. Well, he endorsed Kamala. Is she running? What do we do with this? How do we do that? I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll see. But you know what? Whether you have hope in these things, whether you see this as a good thing or a bad thing, it doesn't matter. God still holds tomorrow. Maybe you're like me and you think, man, these decisions have long since left our hands. There was a very telling moment in the news coverage. The four different news things that I watched included the phrase in this, referring to the Democratic Party, that there's a division between the voters and the donors. And that's all you need to know about American politics. I go, oops, they messed up. You're not supposed to tell us that the donors don't agree with the voters, but the donors are getting their way. That's where I sit with it. But what makes me laugh is it doesn't matter the billions of dollars they funnel through slush funds and things like that and super PACs and all that nonsense. It doesn't matter. We're going to get the leader God tells us to. I just pray that it's a president that can help us and not a president that's there just to judge us. Not one to punish us. So quiet. What else? Peaceable. You know what I've learned? I've not lived as long as some of you, but you know what I've learned in my years? That it is very hard to be bitter and angry at people I pray well for. That's hard. As a matter of fact, sometimes, you know, just in that process, you know, I had some anger, I had some bitterness, and I started praying for them the way I was supposed to pray for them, and all of a sudden, I kind of wanted to go see them. I'd see him in the store. I'd see him at a get-together. I'd see him at something like that. I'd be happy to see him. Why? Because I spent all that time praying for good things to happen, and I kind of wanted to see what grew. After a while, you develop a little bit of a sweet spot for difficult people. My brother Lance and I were talking, and we have seen in our service to the Lord, we have seen some what we call silent rebels. Just people who, no matter what, they're gonna buck and fight the system. They just want to have anything to do with doing what's right. And we started getting to talking about some of the kids that through the years gave us the hardest of times. And I couldn't help but smile because I remembered them not for how difficult they made a car ride, not for how hard they made a teen activity or something like that, but because during that time we prayed for them. And we loved on them. So it was a sweet walk down memory lane. There was no bitterness. As a matter of fact, we laughed. We had a good time talking about these things. And it reminded me to pray for a couple people I've been forgetting to pray about. It happens. Sometimes distance goes. Names fall off of prayer request lists. And you go, man, I haven't thought about that person in 20 years. I'm going to pray for them. Folks, that's when we have peace. Because sometimes we're fit to battle. Man, a certain person comes around us. We don't want to have anything. We don't have nothing nice to say about them. We don't want to have any conversation with them. We would just much rather scrap with them than smile at them. Won't be the same. Won't be as easy if we're praying honestly and with a good heart for them. That's what we need to do. We need to pray honestly. That's what it says there at the end of verse. At the end of verse 2 here, in all godliness and honesty, we need to show compassion in our prayers towards people we don't like until we like them. We may not like the things they do. You know, I can think of several politicians deserve to be in jail. I still pray for their salvation. I pray for their well-being. It ought to be the way we are, but it's hard, isn't it? You know, I say that I do it, but I'll be honest, I'm just like many of you. I have a hard time with it because sometimes my anger gets in the way. Sometimes my resentment of what they're doing gets in the way. And I want to be mad and I want to be hateful. And there's many times where I am. That's not how we have peace. Not that we acquiesce to what they are doing. Not that we step aside so they can do it. But instead that we would be able to oppose them with nothing but peace in our hearts towards them. You think of, well, I'll use a silly illustration. I think it'll make you smile. It's been a minute since we smiled. We had this giant water balloon fight. We blew up 1,500 water balloons for 70-some-odd people. Most of them didn't even play. Blew up 1,500 water balloons. It's okay. We got them from China. They're about $20, you know. Blew them all up. And one of the babies, Caleb, Tim Cavanaugh, his baby, saw his dad had the water balloon. He's just a little thing. And instinctually, he reached out and grabbed it and bit it. And Tim got it out of his hand, or got it out of his mouth before he could really get anything off and swallow anything. But he was like, anybody with a baby, your kid's got a balloon in their mouth, you panic. And he didn't see it. We were talking. He didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. Just something reached into that. Like, this kid goes, I need that. And he had to fight this little boy for this water balloon. That's a strong boy. To fight the little boy for the water balloon. That's the way we need to fight. You're not going to get your way. I'm going to resist what you're doing. But I'm not going to slam you in the face over it. Our prayers for them to stop their evil ought to be just as much to save them from, or to protect them from evil, as much as it is to ask for the Lord to save them. We don't want to just stop them. We want them to see the error of what they're doing. For the abortionist to hear the heartbeat and understand the value of it. Oh, but what if they were brought into this earth by these causes? I don't know. What if you were conceived under evil circumstances? Under circumstances society wouldn't accept. Do you deserve to die? Because a man commits a terrible crime or a woman does not, I'm going to be nice. A woman does a thing that creates a child without thinking it would create a child. Do you deserve to die? I know a man, part of his testimony is that he spent time in an abortion clinic long before his eyes could see nor his feet could walk. And oh, how happy he was that there was a person there to turn that mother away. So you know what? Why don't we go talk to my mom? If you're so nervous about this, why don't you go talk to my mom? We'll talk about this. And they left the abortion clinic and that man got to be born. You know what? He wasn't born under the best of circumstances. He wasn't born in a way that society would accept. And that was a truth that he had to walk around with because people would bring it up from time to time. Well, don't you know this? Don't you know your dad was that? Don't you know that this is how you were conceived? Doesn't that bother you? He gets brought up. I love hearing that man proclaim, I'm glad I was born. So yeah, that's what I pray for them. I pray they hear the heartbeat of a child and understand the value of it. I pray that they look at the dollar and understand how to protect it. I pray that they can look at foreign policy and find a way for us to be peaceable without losing everything we have. I pray that they can look at an open border and understand the danger. Man, you watch some of those shows where they do border crossings and things like that. Always gets me when you have a bunch of Arabic type folk coming over from Mexico. Well, how'd you get down there? Oh, we're just traveling. Well, what are you going to do in our country? More traveling. Where are you going to go? We don't know. We're just going to travel. What a weird thing for us to sit there and say yes. Well, we're here. Well, why are you here? Because we're afraid of being in Mexico. But you're from Iran. Well, yeah, but now we're here in Mexico and we're afraid to be in Mexico, so we need asylum over here in America. Oh, asylum. Come, please. Please. Well, don't you want to do a background check on them? Oh, no, we're too busy. Please, come in. Come in. I pray that we would take a look at that. Be honest with me. Somebody tried to walk in your door, wouldn't you want to know who they were? Glenda parked her car over at our house. Don't you dare tell her I told you the story. She sent her grandson to come get the car. I have been in a bit of a stupor over the last couple of days. Don't know why. Look out my window. I see this young man walking around my yard. I go to the door, and he introduces me, tells me who he is. All of a sudden, okay, I got you. I got you. And his dilemma was, the reason why he was walking around is he wondered if it was too early to come knock on my door to come get the car. So he was a gentleman about it. He was being a gentleman about it. He goes, I want to do this the right way. I don't want to disturb these people. But in my mind, Mir Hans, you sit right there. Open the door. You never know anymore. I mean, people rip you off in suits just as much as they do in beggar's clothes. Doesn't matter how nice somebody looks when they show up to your door. It makes me a little bit nervous. We would have that discernment for our front door. If somebody you'd never seen before came up to your door, knocked on it, and said, hey, I'm here because I'm afraid of being outside. I'm scared of the dark. Can I come in? What would you do? Oh, yes, the dark is very scary. Please, please. Instead of, well, why don't you go back home, pick up a gun, and take care of the cartels and work with your government and fight them? No, no, please, come in. Well, yes, while you're here, we might as well feed you. And while we're feeding you, we might as well give you a place to stay. We wouldn't want to have people who've wandered in making their problems ours. We wouldn't want them to live in the street. So here's what we're going to do. Even though we have many of our own people freezing and burning to death every night, let us take care of your people. I mean, hospitality is hospitality, isn't it? Let's kick out our people and let them starve and die in their addictions and in their troubles and in their mental health issues. Let's let them die. But let us please, so that we can look like the good, compassionate people, help these folks. And if you read a drop of racism in there, I beg you to look again. It ain't about race. We got the great American melting pot. We need to protect all of our people before we start sending billions out. Before we start letting people in and housing them and taking care of them. I mean, $500 a month is what they're giving them here in Michigan for housing. I knew a man who lived behind one of our apartment buildings, was trying to get on benefits, but couldn't. I wonder what made that man, who did not have the same skin color as me, by the way, I wonder what made him worth less than the people we've got busting into the country today. I pray that we've got people who see that. And then what will we have? Then there will be less friction. I've said some harsh things about the way our government is doing things, but we cannot forget that what we are praying for is we're praying in compassion, we're praying in love, because they need to see what the Lord sees. They need to see the people, the heartbeats. They need to see those things for what they are. And as we become more godly, as we become more honest, and as we pray in compassion and love, we will have less friction. Churches that have divisions and fights and problems, those churches have stopped praying for each other long ago. Well, brother, that's a harsh thing to say. Think about it. Think about it. When you have problems with people, do you pray for them? And when you do you pray compassionately? Or do you pray that God would send lightning bolts and thunder and all manner of damage to them? we need to pray for them. And pray with an open heart and a loving heart and with a heart that sees them as family. And in that way, then we will have peace. Then we will have quiet. Then we will see what things look like when we are working together and good things happen. Is it possible for our country? Only if God says it is. Only if God gives it to us. And there's only one way truly for us to do anything about it, and that is to spend time before His throne asking for it. Lord, save our leadership. Lord, bring them to understand. I don't know what God's plans are, but I rest in them because I know that what He does is right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as this news hit today, I pray that, as Brother Charlie said this morning, we do not stress. We do not worry. Father, all things are in Your hands. But Lord, while we know they are in Your hands, we make a few requests as You've asked us to do. Lord, I pray that You save the leadership of this country. Lord, I pray that You give them knowledge and wisdom and discernment. That, Father, it no longer be a contest between red or blue, but, Father, that it be solving our nation's problems. That, Father, we would look at the diabolical, terrible, nasty things going on in our streets, and that, Lord, we would take heart and courage and camaraderie and solve these issues. Lord, looking to You, looking to Your wisdom in every single last decision we make as a nation. Father, it is only when we have turned our eyes to You as a people, and, Father, we swear obedience to You, then, Lord, will we truly be free. Free from evil, free from battling, and, Lord, then our country would have peace. We've spent so much money and so much time trying to bring peace or create instability in some places. But, Lord, I pray that we would work on the stability of our home. That, Lord, we would work at peace at home. Father, help us to lay aside our partisan politics, but instead lift up Your word and obey You fully. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.